My uncontrollable movements called TD, tardive dyskinesia, felt embarrassing. I felt like disconnecting. I asked my doctor about treating my TD and learned about Ingrezza, a prescription medicine clinically proven for reducing TD in adults. That's always one capsule, once daily, and number one prescribed. People taking Ingrezza can stay on most mental health meds.
Ingrezza can cause depression, suicidal thoughts, or actions in patients with Huntington's disease. Call your doctor if you become depressed, have sudden behavior or mood changes, or suicidal thoughts. Don't take Ingrezza if allergic. Serious side effects may include allergic reactions like sudden, potentially fatal swelling and hives, sleepiness, the most common side effect, and heart rhythm problems. Know how Ingrezza affects you before operating a car or dangerous machinery. Report fever, stiff muscles, or problems thinking, as these might be life-threatening. Shaking, stiffness, drooling, and trouble with moving or balance may occur.
Take control by asking your doctor about Ingrezza.
Learn more at Ingrezza.com. That's Ingrezza.com.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Mater Private Network.
On News Talk.
According to a new report from the Royal College of Physicians of Ireland, amending legislation to raise the minimum legal age for the sale of tobacco products from 18 to 21 offers a proven approach to reducing the numbers of teenagers getting hooked on smoking. I'm joined by paediatric respiratory consultant and chair of the RCPI Policy Group on Tobacco, Professor Des Cox. Professor, the raising the age from 18 to 21, what impact do you believe it would have?
Yeah, thanks very much. The research would show us now that we're not doing as well as we should be in respect to tobacco control here in Ireland, and that there's been recent surveys which have showed a slight uptick in the use of tobacco products amongst teenagers, particularly teenage boys. So what they have introduced in a number of other countries is that they've, by raising their age from 18 to 21, they've managed to decrease tobacco smoking amongst teenagers and young adults. And some modelling data performed both in the UK and in the US on projections suggests that if we were to introduce a measure like this, you could decrease teenage smoking by 25% and in the 18 to 20-year-olds by 15%. So the research is pointing us in this direction, and that's what the position paper published by our policy group with the college is advocating for today.
And I suspect many will think that smoking was, if not fully a thing of the past, at least a thing of older generations, and that younger generations were less and less likely to do it. Why are we seeing an uptick?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, Anton, and there's probably not one straightforward answer, but you must remember that the most recent surveys in Ireland show that 18% of the country still smoke. So we would have had a world-renowned reputation for tobacco control with the smoking in the workplace ban and so forth. But really, we've taken our eye off the agenda in recent years. That's probably part of it. Obviously, there's other factors at play in regards to e-cigarettes and other items, but I think it's mainly that we need to do more from a legislative perspective and create more awareness about the dangers of tobacco for teenagers, because other public health issues have come to the fore and more recently rather than tobacco.
It was funny, I was at a dinner on Saturday night. There were six people around the table, four of whom were smoking, which was the first time that I'd seen that proportion in about 20 or 30 years. But it was also the first time that I'd noticed all of the packs of cigarettes, all largely without branding, all of them with the kind of imagery on them and the warnings on them that would turn your stomach. All of those steps, like the changing in branding, the changing in visibility in shops, the increase in cost, the reduction of cultural normalization, are they not permanent factors? Should they not be things that we can take for granted as continuing to work?
Yeah, no, absolutely. In respect of the work done, they've all been very, very important measures. And we overall, tobacco prevalence, tobacco smoking prevalence in this country has significantly decreased over the past 25 years. But it's very clear now that we're not doing enough. I mean, the Tobacco Free Ireland plan, was launched in 2013, and they suggested that we would be at 5% tobacco smoking rate by 2025. We're nowhere near that. So we need to think outside the box here. We need to start thinking about measures that are simple to introduce, that are effective and can reap rewards in respect to increasing at teenagers, numbers of teenagers smoking. I mean, this measure would only require a simple amendment to the current legislation. So you're not talking about drafting up a whole new legislative bill. And then also there's widespread support for this. A recent HSC survey shows that over 70% of people over the age of 15 in Ireland support this measure.
One of the large tobacco companies recently declared its mission as being to facilitate a tobacco-free future. In other words, to make itself redundant and move the business away from the sale of tobacco. And now some would say it's the most disingenuous thing that any company has ever said. But nonetheless, that is the express intent of one of the tobacco giants. If that's the plan, if the tobacco giants themselves are saying this dog ain't going to hunt in the long term, should we not just move to banning?
Well, some countries have already started that process. You may have heard that New Zealand are banning the sale of tobacco products for anyone over or under the age that were born after 2009. So some countries are taking a very significant step towards that, and that's what we call like a tobacco end game, where we're moving towards removing tobacco, taking away the harm from people's lives. But at the moment, as you say, our position paper with the RCPI demonstrates that there. Research is now significantly pointing in one direction, that Tobacco 21 would be effective, and as I mentioned already.
But sorry, Des, is the reason that you're not going further and saying let's move and follow aspects of the New Zealand approach and head towards banning it, is that because you feel it wouldn't work or because it's a political impossibility?
Well, I think if for instance the government were to take on board this recommendation and introduce it into law, and then we noticed a significant downturn in teenage smoking, like we expect that would happen, because that's what's demonstrated in other countries, I suspect then we would be in a stronger position to look at that measure and actually call for a ban. We know that tobacco products kill one in every two users, and if it was licensed in the morning, it was introduced, nobody would license such a product again. So absolutely, that is the direction we would love to see this going, but we have to take it in a stepwise fashion, I think. And that's kind of why, as you say, the evidence that our position paper presents is showing that this is proven and it's effective, and as I mentioned, it would not require a lot of work from the government in order to introduce this.
Just running those numbers, Des, you say one in two smokers will be killed by smoking. If 18% of the population are currently still smoking, that means roughly one in 10 people in Ireland, as we now stand, will be killed by smoking. Still.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they're the statistics, Anton. Yeah, I mean, they're quite stark, and we are. I mean, the hospitals, my adult colleagues are constantly having to deal with the effects of people who have smoked for many years in respect to heart disease and lung disease mainly, but cancer obviously as well. And this is the reality. And we need to, as I mentioned earlier, we believe that the government have taken the eye off the ball in respect to tobacco control in Ireland. And I used to be a world leader in it, I think. We need to refocus our efforts in respect to decreasing tobacco prevalence in this country by a lot more. And as the position paper outlines, this is a very straightforward and an effective way of starting that process.
What effect has vaping had on tobacco use? Because one of the things that a lot of effort went into was erasing the cultural acceptance of smoking. We saw less and less of it in TV shows. We saw less and less of it in advertising, in movies, so that it wasn't seen as just a normal activity. Has vaping reversed that slightly? Because it's now more common to see people walking around inhaling something, if not tobacco.
Yeah, so the argument you're presenting there is that we have, you're absolutely correct, Anton, we have denormalized tobacco smoking as a habit and but with vaping, there is a significant fear that is reversing. What I would say about vaping in that we would know now that there's been a large increase in Ireland in the number of teenagers vaping. When four in every 10 teenagers have tried vaping, But we also know now that teenagers who try vaping are four times more likely to go on to try tobacco products. So that is a big concern. But obviously, by increasing the age of sale of tobacco products to 21, will obviously protect teenagers and young adults from and delay the initiation from starting to take tobacco products. But that is an issue. But as I mentioned, that what we're calling for today is that a raise of age of sale for tobacco products up to 21.
But is that social acceptability the sort of the last hurdle? I mean, I think about things like drink driving. The first phase of drink driving was the legislative one and the one of mandatory checkpoints and random checkpoints. But what followed that was a shift to the point that it just wasn't okay to have two pints and then get in a car in front of your friends. Do we need to get to the same point with cigarettes where people don't want to be seen smoking?
Well, I think I think that is that. I mean, if you speak to people and you see surveys, most smokers want to quit. They don't like smoking. Most people seek help for So I think that is already partly out there. I just feel that that more could be done in regards to education, mass media campaigns, in respect to offering more supports for people who do want to quit. I think although there's a lot of good work out there being done by people on the ground helping people quit, our tobacco smoking rate being at 18% tells us that we're not doing enough. And as I said, that the way we would recommend doing that is by legislative measures, and the government needs to step up now, and they need to make this law pass.
Finally, though, Des, can I put the obvious counter argument to you, which is the one that people will say, look, if you are significantly adult to be able to vote and take part in democracy, if you're significantly adult to be handed an assault rifle and be allowed to join the defence forces, if you're significantly adult to be able to drive a car, to fly a plane, to drink alcohol, to get married, to have children, to do all of those things, how can we say you'll have to wait another 3 years till you decide you can smoke or not?
Yeah, none of those things you mentioned there is a consumer product that kills one in two people.
Drinking comes pretty close.
Well, it's not as dangerous as tobacco smoking. And I said, I'm only here to speak about tobacco. But look, in respect to, we have a product that most people don't regret that they ever started. 90% of people who started smoking started before the age 18. They always regret that. So if there is any way possible that we can decrease teenage smoking and young adults from taking up the habit, if we can delay the age of initiation at all and push that into their 20s, they're less likely to take up the habit. And that's what the research is showing. And as I say, it is a very dangerous product, and we should be doing everything we can to prevent children and young adults from taking up the habit. And as I say, absolutely. The nanny state argument, all those reasons. But at the same time, this is a very... very well supported measure. Okay. As I mentioned, 70% of people over the age of 15 support this. So it's not something that this isn't going against the grain of what smokers want it to.
Des, thank you very much. That is Professor Des Cox, who is pediatric respiratory consultant and chair of the RCPI Policy Group on Tobacco.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network,
weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.